Blog Talk Radio.
groomertalkradio.com, and here's our second show now over at the new Blog Talk Radio format. Today we're going to have with us a great guest. We have Christine Sertzel. Some of you already know who she is, and some of you are going to find out more about her. We're looking forward to having her on the show for the first time here at Blog Talk Radio. Before we get started, I wanted to have a few announcements to get out there. I just got off talking with Todd Shelley. If you haven't heard already, Barclay is sending out thousands of emails to have you guys go and start the nominations for this year's Barclay Honors. We were fortunate to get one ourselves at PetGroomer.com back in 2011. It's a wonderful honor for people who are making a difference for the industry, so be sure to be on the lookout for the nomination form. I believe also Party Central put a link up also on the Groomer Talk message board, so you'll get a connection there somehow. Please do get out there and nominate. We're going to have a bunch of upcoming guests. Of course, we got Chris today, but in the near future, we've got several more. Well, what are we, almost through October right now with our list of guests, and I'll bring that up in a minute and go over it with you. The shows are every other Monday, except I'm getting so many guest requests, we may go every Monday. That's the way it's going. But the next one will be on August 26th. We're going to have Ellen Ehrlich. A lot of you know her from Go Mobile and Succeed book. She's also written a new book called The Successful Groomer, and that applies not just to mobile, but any kind of groomer environment. Then we are going to have, speaking of Party Central, she'll be on. That's the first time to be on any of our radio formats. And Deb Hilly will, of course, is a Groomrise blogger. It's Grooming Smarter. Should be a fun show again. Then, of course, September 23rd, another great author of our industry and truly a favorite for my research-oriented e-groomer. She really likes to get in and do those research and give me those footnotes and everything. She does a great job. That's Barbara Bird, CMG, will be with us here September 23rd. October 7th, we're going to focus on schools, those for pets and those for cats only. So Mitzi Hicks of the Golden Paw Schools will be with us. And the same show, we'll have a segment for cat grooming with Danelle German of the National Cat Groomers Association. Then October 21, Mary Aquindo, who just got the David Salzberg Award, along with two other great groomers who did a lot of work with the Groomers Emergency Assistance Fund, and that's ongoing. So it'll be great to hear with more about Mary. But, of course, if there's anything with pet first aid, CPR type care, anything, she's the person to ask. And actually, I got Todd Shelley of Barclay Productions. He's going to be coming on. And it should just be a fun show. Talking with Todd is just a lot of fun as it is. So we'll see where that show goes. It should be very informative and a good chance for all of you to let them know what you like, don't like about events, whatever. I find them always willing to listen, and they work very hard at Barclay to put on all the productions that they do. I want to remind everybody, if you've ever been looking for used mobile units, this has been a record year for ads. I don't think it's because we're any more popular. There's just a lot of people that are either selling moving up to a new one, so they need to sell mobile. So are used mobile classified? It is truly a buyer's market right now. Take advantage of it. If you've been thinking on mobile and starting used, you've never had a bigger selection than ever this year. We're like up 70% in number of ads at this point in the year, so that's pretty amazing increase this year. I want to remind everybody, too, what we have a Pay It Forward contest going on all month of August. You can win a Lobby iClip clipper for yourself, and you get to pay it forward to someone else, a groomer in need, a rescue association, someone near to you who could really use this, made a difference in your career. So check out the message board at Groomer Talk, and it's very easy to enter. Just post a message on there. Even if you've never posted on the board before, don't worry about it. Come on in and register and post. And by the way, we're going to have that same contest with different clippers, September, October, and November. So, boy, are we giving away clippers here in 2013. The next clippers after this month will be wall clippers, and I believe that's going to be for 2 months in a row. And finally, if you haven't been checking out, help wanted ads are starting to boom again, and the used product ads. If you don't think of petgroomer.com as coming for looking for used products besides the mobiles, you should. We put up a lot of ads, and they keep coming in every day, so it's a great place to be checking out. I'm also want to get the word out. I am looking for an assistant to help with these shows. Perhaps this assistant will be helping with our guest speakers. So you got to be a little tech-oriented, not heavy. It's not that hard. I'm still getting used to it here, but it's not too hard. And but if you have a special feature, if there's something near like 5 minutes on every show, you'd like to bring an update of something for the industry or whatever, I'm just saying we're open to creative ideas. Just get a hold of the admin at the message board. Or you can just send an email to findagroomer@earthlink.net and just mention it's about the Groomer Talk Radio and let's talk. We're looking for expanding this with different reports than just me sitting here talking to everyone all the time. Sounds like a lot of fun. So also I did want to mention I was talking with Merrifield School in Florida. They did achieve their national accreditation through the ACCSC, which is, if people want to know, that's Accrediting Commission of Career Schools and Colleges. Took him 5 years to get that. That's no easy task getting accreditation. And what that is going to open up the ability to once again offer federal grants and loans to those that do qualify. A lot of places lost that ability during the economic turn down back in 2008. So they worked hard, and it's being restored. You can learn more at www.merrifield, that's M-E-R-R-Y, merrifieldschool.com. And congratulations to Greg there, well known for his courses and his involvement in helping to get creative back into Florida. And now he's done a big job to get his accreditation. And so, excellent. Now, what I'm going to bring in Christine with us in a minute. If you have a question for those that are on the telephone, you've called in. If you have a question and would like to ask Christine something, what you do is you send me a notice of that by a very simple. You just press the number 1 on your telephone pad. That raises your hand here. We call that raising the hand. If you press number 1, just raise the hand, and I'll know that you want to talk with Christine about something. And we'll bring you in eventually as the show progresses. So press 1 if you like. Now, Christine, I am going to unmute you. Christine, are you there?
I am. Hello.
Oh, hello. How are you doing?
I am well. How are you?
Oh, real good today. I'm so glad that we've been talking about this for a long time. And look.
We have. We have. Yes, thank you for having me. Thank you for all the stuff you do, but especially for having me as a guest. Thank you.
Yeah, well, you know, we do so much with the board and the board and the board, and we don't hear voices sometimes, you know, Facebook. You don't hear a lot of You know, people
yes.
voice, it's not the same, so it adds another little dimension to everything.
Absolutely, yep.
And it's nice that, you know, these things are recorded. People for years later can listen and get information.
Right.
So,
I still once in a while will go back and listen to mine to see if I messed anything up.
So why don't you give people from your own, from, you know, yourself, tell them a little bit about how you got into grooming and what you're doing now.
Well, I started grooming. People ask me a lot, you know, how long you've been grooming. And I always include the years that I spent doing. My grandma used to have, we had some terriers for a while, and she had a neighbor that had whippets for a while. So I always will include the years that I spent, you know, grooming and getting them ready for the show and lugging tack boxes and things like that. But that's how it started, really, was our family pets and just always having dogs all over the place. I mean, she actually probably nowadays had what would be considered to be too many dogs, especially terriers with all the upkeep that they take for their coats. But I started very young. I remember standing on the wire milk crates out in the, we had a milk house next to the main house that she used for prepping all of her dogs. And as those, you know, who groom terriers probably know, it's pretty messy. We used, you know, cornstarch and regular chalk and stuff like that back then. So it probably wasn't, it just wasn't anything you could have in the house. So she had a separate room, and that's how it started. And she wasn't what some people will say a true terrier person. She was very rough around the edges, and I learned quickly, and I learned to ask questions efficiently and work and keep my head down. But I think it was 10 or 11 years old with handling dogs and learning how to hand strip and, you know, just hours watching her. And I pretty much always knew I would be grooming or doing something with pets. And I had considered going to vet school for a while, but after working in a vet clinic, I just couldn't deal with the medical side of it and the the emotional side of it. I would get too attached and too emotional about the things that sometimes would happen, and I had to keep my distance. So over the years, I've worked in vet clinics grooming a couple of times, and that never went very well because I would, you know, something would happen and I would end up leaving for the day feeling upset or whatever. So I just, after doing my time at corporate salons and the vet clinics and other independent mom-and-pop grooming salons, was fortunate enough to find my way to open my own business from my home. And I've been working for myself now for, probably close to 11 or 12 years, just on my own with my own businesses. And I've had three since I began working on my own. But it's always been dogs. I love the kitties, too. I'm just not as educated about cats as I am dogs. And I didn't have the upbringing with the cats that I did with dogs. So that's how I got into it. I started with family grooming and just kind of stuck by it. That's pretty much.
Yeah. But now, how did the Wisconsin Association of Professional Pet Stylists come into your life? Where did you finally say at this point, I want to do this? And what brought that?
Well, I was actually, at the time, I was a regional manager at a corporate salon. And I, you know, would talk to all these groomers that would come in for various interviews. And I kept thinking, you know, there needs to be something in our state that, you know, is there for these groomers to network and find job opportunities or continuing education opportunities. And there, at that time, there wasn't. There was, you know, a small group in Milwaukee that had been around for a while, and I contacted them and told them what I was interested in starting. And I basically just, I decided that we needed this, and I wanted to, you know, be part of something that was larger than myself, like a lot of people will say, but it's really true. I felt that there's so many different types of groomers in our state alone, let alone across the country. It's just really important for an area to have some type of a group get together, or, you know, an opportunity for these groomers that are doing the work day in and day out to have a time to decompress or to learn more if they want to. So I took the long road. I took the phone book and wrote down addresses and cold called people, and I went to Vistaprint and bought a whole bunch of postcards and sent those out, and I got like 7 back. And I sent out hundreds over probably 6 months. And but those 7 people are still members today, and they're active. You know, that was important to them from the beginning, like it was with me, and they're still members. Let alone, I mean, there's obviously we're a little over 400 members now, and we have just as many members outside the state as we do inside the state, and we have members in other countries as well. And it's I've asked them, you know, if you we have a couple members in Nova Scotia, and you know, why would you, not that I don't want them on our roster, but why would you want to, you know, join our organization when, you know, if we do a webinar, you'll have access to that, but it's so limited as far as what the opportunities would be for classes and things at this point. And they had just said that they had heard really good things, and it's a really good, genuine group of people, and which is, I mean, when you're told that by somebody that you never met before, it's incredibly gratifying, because that's what I was going for from the beginning, was just to get the word out there that there are groups of people, like-minded people, you know, from state to state to state, that if they start these groups with genuine intentions, it's a really great thing. So that's why I started it. I wanted something more for us up here in this area, so that we didn't have a long drive, or the groomers that have families and work long hours that can't get away for a full weekend. I wanted at least something there for them to, you know, talk to another groomer or get together and have a meet to learn something. So, and over the years, we've done just that. This last year, we finally committed to a class a year, and it's a day-long class, or a class a month, excuse me. So we have a day-long class every month, and the memberships are just growing and growing, because there's not that I know of, any other state organization or association that has a monthly educational class for free that's open to all current members. So we have a few members that are active and educated, and they want to go out and, you know, share what they've learned and help others. But a lot of it is, just people that want to talk to other groomers and decompress, like I said before, or just come and relax and hang out and listen, maybe learn some stuff. And but yeah, last year we also I also lined up some options for discounted healthcare programs for independent groomers, so that our current WAPPS members, if they call and mention that they're members, we have two specific brokers from each company that will help, you know, place them in a help find, you know, their health insurance that they're looking for. But they're offered, because of the amount of members that we have on roster, they're offered a slightly discounted premium. So that was really awesome, because I kind of picked away at that every chance I had, until I found, you know, a couple of companies that were willing to do something similar to our National Dog Grooms Association. They have wonderful benefits for members as well, and I just felt like, you know, if a national org can do it, we can do it on a state level also. So, yeah.
Great. Now, there's a little bit more on that monthly class. Is that done just locally, or is that actually a webinar-type class as well?
Yeah, we have been looking at doing webinars, and every time we have a class, we record. And what will happen is we have some type of technical difficulty, and we either have part of the class, but we have got to get somebody to where we have a person dedicated to the AV work for the day, so that we can get one entirely recorded. So as of now, it's an attendance on-site class, and they're all never less than 8 hours long. We usually spend the whole day, and then at the end of the day, we all ask questions and have an open forum discussion. So it's a really in-depth.
8 hours. 8 hours, yeah. Is very intensive on your...
Yeah. Now, yeah, a lot of the groomers just want to take a lunch.
Do you usually provide the educational training of the day? Do you have other people come in and actually do some demonstrations?
Yeah, absolutely. That's one of the important things, is that when we first started out, we didn't really have a whole lot of members that wanted to get up and talk. You know, they were shy or they didn't felt that their skill level was, they didn't have the confidence yet. And so, you know, there's certain areas that I am well-versed in that I'll talk about, and we keep those on a regular rotation because it keeps me on my toes. But, you know, over the years, we've had more members that have really used that class every month to kind of gain confidence and are now speaking about things that they're skilled in. And, you know, a lot of them have moved on and they're getting their national certification after getting certification with us, or they've used our smaller grooming competition as a stepping stone and they're now competing on a national level, which is, I mean, that's wonderful because having a place where you're comfortable and you're able to learn from other people while you're developing your own skills, and, you know, feeling in a secure environment so that you use that to move on. I mean, that's phenomenal. So anyhow, I got off topic. The classes, yes, they're on-site classes. I speak occasionally. We have breeders and handlers that will come in and speak specifically on breeds if we're doing a breeds class. We have a nutrition person that's an independent nutrition person that doesn't speak about certain brands of food but talks more about strictly nutrition and holistic practices and things like that. We have a couple of attending vets that we've lined up. So as the ball rolls and gains momentum, we're just we're finding more people that through word of mouth are hearing about us, and we have more options for educational classes and things like that. But we're getting there. The webinars aren't quite there yet.
Yes, it'll get there. You know, it is all a little bit overwhelming at first to get the technical side of all that working so well.
Yes.
Especially, I would think even if you did that to make it like an 8-hour thing is not practical, but maybe one part of one of the classes or something could be
right.
1 hour of it, this special demo at least. Because
right.
there's a lot of technical side to an
there
8-hour.
There is.
You'd need a crew.
Yeah, yeah.
I
have the equipment. I just, like, there's not enough of me to get back and forth between everything.
Right. Now, I do want to, Chris, let me interrupt for just a second here to the people that are just listening online. If you have a question, the way you go about asking a question of actually myself or Chris is you'll see a phone number on the screen there. It's toll-free in the 48 states. That you just call in on that number. Turn down your computer speakers once we're going to release you and you're on. You'll get feedback created here. But if you do have a question for Chris and you're listening online, you've got to use the telephone number. It's toll-free in the 48 states, and you can just start watching and listening to the show that way. In the meantime, for those that are already dialed in, I have some here. If you have a question, once you get on the telephone, you're connected to the show, you press the number one on your telephone keypad. That raises your hand here, and we are going to, in a few moments, we will start taking questions. I think I've got one or two for you already here. But let's continue on a little bit to give people a little bit more idea, because there's a lot more to your life than even that association.
Yeah.
You are prolifically busy with projects. We hear so many good things, such as the Element Cheers, which you had for a while, then you didn't have, but they are fully back now. Is that correct?
They are, yes. I had to find a new sharpener or a new forger, and I had to turn in the models and have them, they pulled them apart and looked at them to see if they could create something close to what I'd originally had because I really liked the designs. And I found a new forger that occasionally is a little slow, but they're hand forging, and the work that they put out is tremendous. The shears, for the quality that you're getting for the amount of money that they cost, is you just wouldn't expect it until you pick them up and use them. They're really, I'm tremendously grateful for having found my forger.
Excellent. That's a task company that I'm not familiar with, actually working with manufacturers like that and doing that. That's great you've done it, and like you said, the price of them is so reasonable.
Yes, yep. Yeah, a lot of people are, you know, they'll look at the price and think, well, you know, what am I getting for this, you know, very low amount of money that I'm paying? And, you know, there are so many different types of shears out in the market, and I just wanted to create something that was a good mid-level shear that would work, you know, workhorse shears in the salon. They're very unique. They're pretty shears, and they're just really, they're well-made, balanced, good steel, and they just kind of cover all the bases. They're not a top-end shear, but you'll get a great finish with them, and they're good on your hands and really good on the pocketbook.
All right. Let's try taking a question here and see how that works. Would you like to go ahead and try?
Okay, sure.
I've got what I'm going to tell everyone again who's will have a question. What we'll do is we'll unmute you. I will identify you by the last four digits. My first caller with their hand up, you're in the 608 area code, same as Christine, but your number ends in 7463. If you could, I'm going to unmute you and then give us your name and where you're calling from. Okay, I think 7463. Who is this? Oh, we just lost them, or they got bumped off. So it's hard to say. That can happen. So we'll see. Well, let's just go on, and maybe they'll call back in because I do see people get bumped off occasionally. All right, tell me more about how you decided to do the spa therapy. You know, early on, I remember even on the message board and all. You were really right on with the aromatherapy and why that. How did that just spark a lot of interest with you to do that?
Well, I guess it probably started in working in a lot of different working environments where I was handling dogs and pets, but predominantly dogs, and seeing, you know, trying to look at the bigger picture and seeing the experiences that they were having when they'd come in for grooming or come in for you know, checkups and things like that. And I had worked in a lot of different environments that really felt kind of energetically blah to me, or they were, you know, high stress and loud, or just kind of energy sucking, if you will. So my idea was that I wanted to, once I broke out on my own and went into business for myself, I wanted to have a business that was an extension of myself. And I think that anyone who's fortunate enough to incorporate some part of themselves into their work, it feels less like work and it feels more gratifying. It feels like you're making a difference and that you're doing something that's genuine because it's genuinely part of you. So I started, you know, reading everything I could possibly get my hands on. I went to a few different holistic, if you will, fairs and pet fairs and things, and talk to people that were looking at herbals or flower essence therapy, aromatherapy, and I was just interested in it. I thought it made sense to me. I have a spiritual background, if you will, and that it just kind of all fell into place. So I thought, if I have a business grooming pets, I want to offer for them something similar to what a spa or a care center would offer for people that come there. You know, yeah, you get pampered and you get, you know, taken care of, but you also have just a very good experience. It's not hectic or rushed, and it's calming and relaxing. So I studied everything that I could about, I started out with aromatherapy first and flower essence therapy and herbals. I read a lot of herbal books that I could find online, and I still have a lot of books laying around that I'll, you know, occasionally cycle through and will find things that I'd forgotten. But that's what started it, was just like a feeling that I wanted to do something different within the pet industry. I knew I wanted to handle pets, and then next came the grooming, but I didn't want to groom in a white box with, you know, bright lights and dryers going and dogs barking and people yelling over the top of dryers. I did that. I paid my dues for sure, but I knew that that's not really the way you can work mentally and emotionally mentally and physically for very long. Groomers get burned out. Dogs are not having a fun time when they come to the groomers sometimes. So any groomer that takes the steps to try to offer a different experience for their clients, both human and animal, I think it's just a wonderful thing to do for our industry and for the pet care industry in general, because our industry is growing. We're viewing our animals in a different light than we did, you know, years back. Our equipment is getting better, and there's just really no way to go but up if you look at it from that perspective that, you know, there's been things that have been lacking and need to be improved on, and it's finally getting notice. I know that, you know, in my work, I do certainly have to hustle sometimes. I have dogs that are aggressive or scared. I do a lot of shelter and retrieval work, so I'm dealing with dogs that, you know, are kind of outside themselves sometimes when they come in. But it is really rewarding to get through a groom and know they're going to come back and it's just going to get better from there. You know, you worry if they move away, and you hope that they get the care that they need. But there's a lot of really good groomers out there, and I just wanted to be a good groomer. I didn't want to do the bare minimum and check it out at the door, and I wanted it to be part of me when I worked through the day, and it definitely has been. So just paying attention to supportive services and things that are other parts of the puzzle, the pieces of the puzzle, to create a good experience for the pets that come see me and to help, you know, genuinely improve their quality of life, whether it's, you know, them coming in and needing something grooming-wise that they've not gotten in the past, or talking to an owner about different types of training options. Nutrition is a huge one. Anything like that, you know, that I can do, and other groomers as well. That anybody that tries to make a difference in the life of a pet other than, you know, just cutting hair and turning them out the door. I mean, they need it. Their hair keeps continuing to grow, but sometimes there's things that they need as well under the surface. And to be able to do that, it's like I said, it's tremendously rewarding. It's hard work, but it's not really work. It's just much more deeply fulfilling.
Great. Now, I've got more to ask you on this, but I see that our caller that got, it looks like, bumped off is back. Mm-hmm. Let's try and see if I can unmute. This is someone calling from the 608 area code, ending in 7463. You don't need to do anything to your phone. I'm just going to unmute you. It just takes a second, and hopefully we won't lose you. Hi.
This is Jessica in La Crosse. Sorry, I bumped myself off. I hit the wrong button.
I'm glad to know it wasn't me.
It was nothing you did.
Yeah. And where are you located at?
I'm in La Crosse.
La Crosse,
Wisconsin.
Okay. Wisconsin, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not familiar with every city there. Well, Christine's on the line. Go ahead and ask your question.
I was wondering, Chris, if, you know, with everything else that you've got on your plate, do you also, with the association, keep an eye for when licensing legislation comes our way?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. Every so often something will come up, just a rumble of something, and absolutely, I'm on top of that. And other people within the industry, too, sometimes will bounce, you know, they'll ask me, what's your opinion on this or that as far as regulation goes? And I've usually got a pretty big opinion on those things. So I really keep members informed if there's anything that comes across the desk to let them know, hey, this is something that we're looking at. And, you know, so that we can form an opinion on it in case we're asked. And in case, you know, it being a state association, we should have an opinion on it. It's going to govern us possibly or change our, you know, our workload and things like that throughout the day. It's very important to have an educated, informed opinion about things that pop up as far as legislature. So, yeah,
right.
We try to keep up on that. Yep.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks for calling.
Can we ask our caller's opinion? Do you favor licensing, or do you just not know yet?
You know, I'm on the fence. I think there's good points to it, and I think there's bad points to it. I think that when everybody is screaming that licensing is going to stop some of the negligence, that in some cases it might, but in a lot of cases it's, you know, having an inspector come in once a month really isn't going to do anything about that one time they turn their back and the dog jumps off the table, or, you know, the groomer that has that horrible day and finally snaps and doesn't walk away, but, you know, does the, I don't even want to go into all the horror stories that I've read recently.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, I'll roll with it whichever way it goes, I just am afraid that it's going to, I mean, if we have to be nationally certified, for me personally, it's been very difficult. I've been grooming for 15 years, and I am not, you know, a certified master groomer yet. I do what I can through Wisconsin, which hasn't been a whole lot since my baby was born. So.
Right, right. Yeah, that's. I feel a lot of the same ways, Jessica. I think if legislature is put into action, I really hope that it's put into action and they take into consideration the people within the industry that have the educated opinions and can work hand-in-hand with the decision-makers and the program organizers and things like that. I think that's what worries me, is that it will just be a money draw, or it'll be another government function that will really not necessarily make anything any better. And, I would say I'm on the fence, too. I have no problem with legislation. I think it would help in a lot of ways. But I do know, just from working in the industry, like a lot of other groomers, it would be incredibly hard to legislate certain aspects of what we do as a trade. And a lot of trades, I think, are that way. But, it only takes one bad instance that's put out over the airwaves to make a lot of people, you know, to just form that public opinion. And we do need something in our corner. If it's only each of us acting more professionally, if you will, or just taking onus of our actions and having empathy for the pets that we're dealing with and the owners, that will help tremendously. You know, just like you said, if you're having a bad day, walk away, things like that we each have to do individually to hold ourselves accountable, and that will ripple out, I think, in only positive ways as well. But if legislature happens, so be it. I mean, I definitely would do what I had to do, and I know you would, and I know a lot of other caring and insightful groomers that they feel the same way. I mean, that's what I hear from members. That's what I hear at other group meetings and things like that. So.
Great. Thank you.
Well, Christine, I think that you being, having these members, having an association in, you know, that's homed in that state, is going to be a big boom to that state to know whether they want to do it. Boy, it's just going to be the perfect time for the voice of you and your members, and we'll probably have a lot of influence on what Wisconsin does anyway.
Right, right. So, and I think every state deserves that, you know. Any state that can get a group of people together that stay on top of things and keep themselves educated about this stuff, every state should have somebody to act, you know, like Terry DeMarino a while ago was at the forefront of, you know, kind of being a watchdog on the things that were happening, and to turn your back or have a large loophole or something like that to be put into effect and miss the boat on it, and then it affects everyone, would be a shame. So even if there's not a state organization, just to have somebody, some people that are willing to speak up and say, no, you know, this doesn't work, or okay, this works, but this is what we need to do to change it. Or because a lot of times what will happen is a bad event will happen, and then there's this huge uproar over it, and then people want to move in immediately, and they want either media or they want to be part of this change, and it's not as thought out as insightfully as they may think they are, because they're not a groomer. So a groomer should be part of that opinion and that formation of a legislature for sure.
It certainly is a much cooler topic nationwide right now. Remember, 2012 was like a frenzy with this going on. And I think that other states, having seen what happened there, it certainly has just been such a cool topic. I just don't feel like it's going to be on the forefront again of the public just yet again. But, you know. So when it comes, it comes. It'll be great in your state to have your association and contact there for them.
Yep.
All right. Now, it was our caller. Was that Jessica?
Yeah, well, Jessica. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I just want. I'm going to mute. First off, did you have another question?
I have millions, but I'll wait.
Well, but there's fine. Here's what you can do. Go ahead and hit number one, and that'll take down your hand. I'm going to mute your line. We're going to take a couple more other callers, but you can hit number one again in a minute or two and get back in line again, okay?
Sounds good. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. Okay, I've got another caller that's been waiting. This person is in the 405 area code, only one in that, so that'll be you. I'm going to unmute you here and then give us your name and where you're calling from.
Hey. Okay. It's Lori Craig from Moore, Oklahoma.
Oh, hi, Lori.
Hi.
Nice to hear you.
Yeah. I wanted to know, with Chris, you have so much that you do for the industry, everything that you have on your plate, and you continue to keep doing more and more and more that is actually doing great things for our industry. I want to know how you stay so motivated to help everybody out. There's a lot of people that tend to burn out rather quickly, but, you know, you're just up there and you keep helping out, and I think the way that you handle things, if you can express your interest for everything, that may be, you know, how you keep it going, maybe you could really help motivate others to keep it going as well. So in your breather throughout the days, I mean, what do you keep yourself to keep calm and just keep doing what you do?
Well, I'm definitely, you know, guilty of occasionally getting riled up and getting, I guess, you know, not so centered or grounded, if you will. You know, it's usually about something that's important to me, and it'll affect other people most usually. It's not always a personal thing that I, you know, will take a reaction on. But I drink a lot of coffee. I am a coffee aficionado. I've been on a diet. I've not taken care of myself, we'll put it that way. If anything has suffered in my work, it's been that I've not put myself at the forefront of my workload. So I'm on a diet. I'm not able to drink as much coffee now, but I am somehow finding, you know, more energy, probably because I'm losing a little bit of weight and feeling better. But I just, you know, I don't want to take the whole spiritual route, but I do try to meditate whenever I can. If I'm feeling really like, you know, okay, what, I don't quite know how I should handle this, or, you know, how should I go about getting this task or this task or this task done, I'll take a breather and you know, kind of tap into that spiritual side. I also take a lot of lessons from my kids, and I think learning that as I get older to be even more receptive or perceptive of their reactions to things, and that sometimes in that simplicity, it's like the perfect thing to do, not to complicate things and read more into them than what they really are. But I just, you know, I do keep lists. I'm one of those weird list makers that will make like lots of lists and lists of lists, and I check them off, and that's tremendously gratifying. And before I go to bed at night, I'll think, okay, I got to get this, and this done in the morning, but what do I want to get done, you know, throughout the day, what's really important, and those things get done first, and the rest of it will be there for later. So I really like talking to people, like not at people, but talking to people and listening to them and their life stories and how unique everybody is, but yet there's so many similarities, and that to me, it's just, it really makes the work part of it worthwhile, and it makes it a lot more simple, because it just, like, if I sit down and think, okay, I've got these ideas in my head, I want to write this book, and I'll make an outline and this and that, but at the thought of making a book, I always will think, you know, who's going to benefit from this out there, and what is it going to do for my industry to make it better? And if I keep my eye on that makes the rest of it really easy. I'm not necessarily grammatically or punctual wise, I'm not always the best at that, but I got a good idea about certain things, so sometimes I'll get help with editing and things like that. I have a couple of clients that are tremendous help with some of my writing projects, but sometimes I don't know what happens in the day. I'll lay down at the end of the day, I'm like, what just happened? But so far, everything's gone okay. The parts that I have forgotten about, nothing's come back to nip me in the rear. So I just think if you have an interest in helping others and you're not shy, you're outspoken and comfortable and a genuine person, you should do something with it. Like, you were given that you were given that part of you for a reason, and if you ignore it or you don't tap into it, you might be missing out, and other people might be missing out too. So people that are outspoken or outgoing, some people are put off by them. You know, I'm not, because I'm that way, and I don't mean to be overbearing or loud or obnoxious, or, you know, I don't want to be the center of attention, but I just like talking to people and learning from them and sharing things and maybe helping them out. I think our time in the world is brief overall, and we're here to do as much good as we can. You know, we may stumble along the way, that's for sure, but just keeping your eye on the prize, it's worth it. It's totally worth it.
Very good.
But there's no magic, I don't know, there's no magic ingredient or formula, I guess, for any one thing to get done before you move on to the next. It's just, you know, Lori, because you speak and you teach and, you know, you're up there in front of people that look up to you, and you're trying to set an example, but you're trying, you know, you're still a genuine person. And people either have that ability, or some people don't, or some people just ignore it, but I just think there are people in the world that they can really help other people if they take the time. You're one of them. You're one of the people I look up to.
Well, I just think you've done absolutely wonderful for industry. And like I said, when I see you, you motivate a lot of people. You've got a lot on your plate, but yet you keep it going. And
thank you.
Big thank you and a big kudos to you for that.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Missy.
All right.
Okay, thank you, Lori. It was great to hear from you.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm just going to mute Lori's line here. Take a second. All right. Okay, Wendy. I'm going to go back to where we left off here. Aromatherapy.
Yeah.
Do you find that some of the scents that appeal to humans have a much different effect on, well, let's say any animal, but let's say dogs.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, absolutely.
That.
Yes. Not only what appeals to one person doesn't necessarily appeal to another person. Like, I'm not really big on the whole lavender thing. A lot of people think, oh, lavender is so wonderful. But it can be a little bit overwhelming depending on what kind of lavender it is and if it's real, you know, lavender or not. So I don't always just go out and buy a lavender scented candle. Some people, they have different senses and different tastes. And with animals, they're way, way, way more attuned to their senses because they don't vocalize, and they're much more simple in their reactions and in how they take things in around them and how they pay attention to their instincts and their senses. So absolutely. I have dogs that'll come in sometimes and I think I'm simmering something that is, you know, soothing and putting out the good vibe, and they'll be crazy, you know, and I'll sometimes get them through their groom and think about, you know, what was going on with that dog today. And other days they'll be fine with what I'm using. And it's just, they don't necessarily always like the same thing depending on what kind of day they're having, just like people. And they definitely are way more attuned to scent and sounds and sights like that than humans in general.
What do you think, with aromatherapy working with animals, though, what is your number one objective? We want to please the animal, but is it they're in somewhat of an unfamiliar environment? Is getting the pet to be calm, I mean, the number one goal of aromatherapy in the grooming environment, or what else?
I mean, calmness is up there, but it's also, you know, when a pet comes into a place, and whether they are socialized and they go out to other places or they just go to the vet and to the groomer every time they're in the car, so they, you know, they know they're going to one of two places or whatever, they associate, you know, a scent with that environment, and it is my belief that they can definitely pick up on that ahead of time. I have clients that during the summer when I've got, you know, my front of my house open, which is where I groom, they'll say, you know, they turn on my road and they get all crazy happy, or they get to the bottom of my driveway and they get all crazy happy. And it may be that they remember, you know, certain areas or whatever, but I think they're picking up on, you know, their sense of smell and things that are familiar to them. So for me, aromatherapy is about familiarizing or getting a dog to remember a positive experience each time they have that smell. That would be first and foremost. Secondary, yes, you know, they're calming or they're, you know, germicidal and things like that, at, you know, like thieves oil and stuff. I'll burn heavily if we're having certain issues with dogs that are coming in, you know, with viruses and things like that. But it's definitely about them associating a good experience with a smell and even a taste, you know, sometimes that depending on what you're using for your aromatherapy products, that registers, you know, in certain parts of their brain, and they remember that each time they're imprinted slowly. And so it's calming, yes, calming, relaxing, putting out the vibe before I even put my hands on them, them being able to come in and find their center and calm down and, you know, realize, okay, I'm here again. We're going to do this, this, and this today, and I know what's going to happen, so that they're not feeling anxious or don't know what to expect. Like I said earlier, I have a lot of dogs that come in that are geriatric or they're refused from other salons because they're aggressive or they have a lot of anxiety and they're just difficult to groom. And it's great to win those pets over and have them, you know, I keep notes each time a dog comes in. And I was just telling a friend the other day, it's interesting because a lot of my difficult dogs that came in at a difficult level, and there was an explanation of what their reactives were or their little catalysts, you know, things that they would do. And it's after just a period of months, you see it's a switch. Now a lot of my naughty dogs are doing really, really well, but some of my good dogs that were really laid back and mellow are kind of acting out because they know, they're like, well, she's going to do this now and she's not going to hurt me. And they really let it all hang out, if you will. So dogs know. I mean, they pick up on energy, and they're just, like I said earlier, much more attuned to those types of things. They're just open to them because they communicate so simply.
So you have, for the benefit of our listening audience, a line of products called the Canine Spa Therapies.
Yeah.
Would you tell people a little bit about those products and how you, well, we already know, you're very passionate. That's why you do all these things, like Lori was saying. But why don't you tell them a little bit what's included in that, and tell us about your favorite product.
Well, I developed the products on my own, just with reading and asking questions of, I have a couple of friends at the UW here. I'm fortunate to know that I get to bounce things off of them, that are much more educated than I am at this point in time. But I wanted to create some very simple, all natural, if you will, you know, simple whole ingredients, products that groomers could have within the salon that serve a purpose, so they're doing things for the pets that they're using them on, and they're easy to explain, like what's in this, so they're, everything's disclosed as far as what's in them. And I have, you know, over the years that they've been available, taken phone calls and emails, you know, well, I see this and this is listed, what does that do? So that if people don't want to, you know, get on their own and investigate those things, I can give them an easy answer that they can reiterate to their clients. So having that open line of communication, they know what's in it, they can tell their clients, and they know why they're using it. That's the foundation behind those products. So there's a couple of different oils. There's a paw oil and a hot spot oil and an arthritis oil. The paw massage oil is just a general emollient, and it has really good scent to it. And the hot spot oil has tremendously wonderful essentials in it. Helichrysum's in there, so it helps to immediately soothe and helps the skin to heal. The arthritis oil is an antispasmodic. It helps to increase circulation to an area. you know, by rubbing it in, you're already helping the pet just by using, you know, your hands. Hopefully, I mean, hopefully you know what you're doing when you're rubbing and massaging on a pet. But they're just tools that, like any other tool, you know, we pick up a comb and a brush and a pair of scissors, and those are the tools that we need to get the job done of cutting hair. The tools that we use, our liquids and our topicals, are just as, in fact, probably more important, because, well, they're just as important as our physical tools, because they, you know, we can harm a pet with them or we can hurt a pet with them. And the industry, like I mentioned earlier, has been developing wonderful, wonderful shampoos and topicals, and the bar just keeps going up. So these products I wanted to have out there for clients or groomers, excuse me, who wanted to use in the salon. They're not available to resell to your clients. I don't have any type of a wholesale or anything like that on them. They're there for groomers to buy and use in their own salon with their own hands. There's a cranberry, buttermilk, and oatmeal wrap, which works for relieving redness, swelling. If you see a dog that has like flea bite dermatitis or any type of a localized issue, you can pack that on, and it works kind of like a poultice to help pull out the swelling in an area. There's tea tree and peppermint treatment, which is phenomenal on yeasty red feet. Obviously, things like yeast out here, especially with the humidity and the moistness that we have, I see a lot of dogs come in that have yeast issues. Sometimes they're misdiagnosed with allergies, so they're going on, you know, with veterinary care like that. But this is stuff, all of these are things that will provide an immediate benefit while the pet's there just for that visit. There may not be any type of, a lasting effect, because a lot of times that healing or that fixing of things, it has to start inside with things like nutrition and, you know, lifestyle type things. But what we do in the salon is we're trying to get the best possible outcome that we can in the amount of time that we're allowed to spend with that pet. So we want to be doing things for our clients that are genuine and are really benefiting the animal. And I think if we're doing things aside from hair cutting that are really beneficial, it creates a niche for your business. Your clients begin to see, you know, differences in their pet, and they will ask you for your opinion on things. That builds confidence. It's just a real ripple effect of creating change, and it just takes off. You know, if you're using good products and stuff, and you're educated about it, yeah.
I
keep getting off topic.
A practical side of these things. Now, when you see a hot spot, or you know about the arthritis,
yeah,
this is something you're going to offer as an add-on service, or is some of this just part of a high-end spot visit? You know, where, I mean, how do you market? And I think many groomers will want to know, you know, how is this marketed? Is it the add-on, mm-hmm. add-on, add-on, or is
mm-hmm.
it an upgraded experience? You're coming for a 3-hour spa treatment, and it's going
right.
to be whatever the pet needs, perhaps, or whatever. How do you know and market that?
Well, it definitely begins with the client, because you have people that are open to that and they're interested in those things, and you have people that are not. And you can't really always push the envelope with certain mindsets. So you do what you can do, and you do what's best for the pet while they're there, and you move on, you know, with certain issues. But if you have people that are open to it, efficient and factual and short and to the point, concise information that you can give them to explain what you see and why, so therefore, you know, educating yourself ahead of time so that you have that confidence to say, I feel, you know, this type of shampoo would help your pet, or, you know, he's limping, let's look at his nails, things like that, that you can put your interpretation on and show your client, this is what I see and this is why, we'll get that stuff to market itself. I mean, I live out in the woods, you know, I'm in a very blue-collar farming community. I have a lot of bread-and-butter clients that come in. They bring their dogs in once a year for a shave down. I have a lot of people that come in every 12 to 16 weeks. And I have a lot of people that will come in 6 to 8 weeks and they just get their haircuts and that's all we do. But the people that are open to, you know, asking questions or being curious about certain things that they see or questions they have, you know, with their dealing with their vet, that's the time to kind of kick it into high gear and look at the opportunity and say, okay, I can make a difference for this pet. I'm going to go out on a limb here and talk to this client and try to educate them in a kind way, because that is huge as far as how you communicate with your clients, whether they take you seriously or they just dismiss you. And then, you know, once you talk to them about, okay, we're going to do these services today, I see, you know, these things are cause for concern with me, or this looks suspect, you know, have you talked to your vet, and keep an open line of communication so that they feel like they're part of all of the decision-making processes and they have the opportunity to ask questions. A lot of times, those services kind of just explain themselves. Okay, he needs a benzoyl peroxide shampoo because he's coming in and he's greasy, 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 you know, at other groomers and they can't get him looking clean, or he comes in and he's got constant dandruff, or, you know, anything that we see when we check the dog in. And we should definitely take a moment to check the dog in as thoroughly as possible, because we're basically setting ourselves up to either fail or succeed when we take that pet in. If we don't look at, you know, the animal, we're just asking for trouble. So, yeah, I got off topic again, but that's the biggest thing is any type of supportive services is what I call them, but add-on services, anything that if you're going to be making money from it, I think personally, and a lot of other groomers that offer supportive services will say it needs to make sense to your client or you're not going to sell it. They have to know why they're getting it. And it's your job to let them know why and to be honest about it. You know, there are certainly things that you can sell and that I sell, like pedicures and nail polish or bows and add-ons and things like that. But the stuff that really that's not cosmetic, the stuff that helps the pet internally, if you will, or systemically as part of the bigger picture, those things, if you educate your clients on them and you're efficient and honest, they'll sell themselves. One of the biggest things that I deal with out here are flea and tick issues. Probably 9 months out of the year, flea and tick issues. I had fleas in the salon and ticks in the salon this year in February, and we had a really dry year last year, but it's been another bumper season for pests. So I'm, you know, I think, okay, well, I'm seeing fleas and ticks in here in February. I probably better, you know, check the most current developments in pesticides, flea and tick shampoos, all natural flea and tick shampoos, so that I can offer them to my clients and get that taken care of so that I know what I'm talking to them about ahead of time. Pests and yeast is so crazy out here. We see it all over the place. So getting online, reading everything that I can, buying books. Every groomer has the opportunity to do that if they want. And once you have that education and you know what you're talking about, it just kind of comes naturally to say, okay, I want to do this for this pet because this is what I see. And we're not diagnosing. Well, you know, we want to always, number one, work with the pet's other caregivers, whether it's the family or the vet, you know, a house sitter that they see on a regular basis, anything that has an effect on that pet's lifestyle or quality of life. So we don't, you know, I would never say, I think you have an ear infection in this dog. And that's one that the groomers usually refer to. You just have to, choose your words carefully. You have to be respectful to the other people in that dog's network, if you will. And I don't know, most of the clients pick up on that if you're genuine and open.
Well, I'm going to move on. We've already had an hour whisk by here, and we haven't got to one aspect. You're quite the writer. You have a number of established books for a while. I know Caring for the Canine Coat, and we've had many people come to the board, and they say, where is a guidebook on competition grooming? And, you know, it's such a someone asks that question, you know, they don't ask for a book. They just say, where do you learn about this? It's like, wow, that's a long post on the board to tell you all about the ins and outs of competition.
Oh, yeah.
Grooming.
Yeah.
So you have that book for people. So anyone interested in competition grooming that might be listening, that guidebook is out there. And, of course, you have your canine reference series. But what I'd like to do is give you some time to let us know more about the projects that are coming up.
Well, we have, let's see, I have a few chapters done on a book that would cover, it's called Creating the Complete Pet Spa, and it's another guidebook, if you will. All my books are quote-unquote guidebooks, but, you know, you just take from them what you need, and so far I've gotten really good feedback that all of them have been tremendously helpful. I'm not always the best writer, but I have a lot of ideas that seem to be helping other people. But it's a guidebook that covers everything that has to do with pet spas. It's, you know, designing it, what goes into the thought process or should go into the thought process behind that design and the marketing of it. Everything. There's recipes, tons of recipes in there for different homeopathic, if you will, but just simple things that you can do in the salon as part of your grooming regimen for a variety of pets that will benefit them. Let's see, there's the canine massage for the pet stylist. That will probably be out in winter, I'm hoping. The pet spa book I had hoped to have out this summer, but I'm trying not to let that get pushed too far to the back of the desk, but I've got another thing that I've been working on. I've been writing a canine massage CEP for a school. A whole program, a whole course for that. So that took up a lot of time, and that was a learning experience, let me tell you, because I've never written anything at that level before. And it's very serious, very, you know, totally and completely nonfiction, we'll put it that way. So, like I said, I learned a lot doing that, and it's taken a lot longer than I thought it would. But I'm still working on the canine massage for the pet stylist, which would be simple ways to implement canine massage into your current business or as an existing grooming salon, adding that to it. It would show everything as far as the actually how to do massage, the history of massage, different charts and like anatomy charts and physiology charts and things that you'd need to have on hand for reference. And it's not so in depth that you know, you need to worry about getting into trouble. It's simple massages that we can do that aren't going to hurt the pet as long as we obviously are cautious and careful in the care that we're giving. The biggest thing that's coming up is we have our annual Pet Stylist Invitational, which has grown steadily over the last 8 years. It's our annual trade show. It is hosted by WAPPS, but it's open to everyone. It's a day-long trade show. It's happening on October 20th, and it's at, this year, the beautiful Olympia Resort and Conference Center, which is the hub in this area for a lot of our national dog shows and regional dog shows. It's a very, very beautiful event. We've got the Grand Ballroom, so it's like a national trade show, but just smaller. You know, we've got plenty of vendors that are going to be there for shopping every day, or all day, excuse me. We have the NDGAA is going to be there doing a certification workshop. The PCGAA is going to be there doing a CAT certification workshop. And we'll have classes throughout the day. In between the grooming competitions in the afternoon, we're having a three-tiered grooming competition, all purebreds this year. And so, yeah, it's, again, just a lot of stuff packed into one day, and it's there for groomers to pick and choose what they want to be part of. But that's coming up, like I said, October 20th, and that takes a lot of work, a lot of work putting a trade show together. And then you want it to do
definitely.
Well, but then as it grows, you know, it's more work. So that's taken
I'm
up a lot
sure
of time.
I'm not sure we mentioned what city that's in. Where in Wisconsin?
Yeah, that's in Oconomowoc, Wisconsin. Yes.
That's a mouthful there.
Yeah.
Some of those
that's an Indian name. I actually, just so you know, finished the website last night. I wanted to have everything in line for the session today when we were talking to let everybody know that the website's up and running. It's www.petstylistinvitational.com. So that's up there. You can take a look at the classes that we have, all of the vendors and the products that we're going to have there, and register online.
So is it, it's Pet Stylist, is that a plural stylist or just stylist?
Stylist singular, yep.
Stylistsingular.com?
PetStylistInvitational.com.
.com, okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We should make sure that's up at Groomer Talk, too. I think we've...
Yeah, I need to get on there and put that up. You're right.
Yeah, we got to put that one on there. Well, you do so many things. You keep me busy, I'm telling you. So let me ask you a little bit again about the competition. Why did you write that book? What brought it about? It's based on what experience did you have with that world? Why don't you give some of our callers... or listening to some of that information.
I have a lot of people that will call me and ask lots of questions, especially with members of the association, because they're interested in competing, but they're like scared or they feel overwhelmed. They know they have a little bit of a competitive streak and they want to learn and do better. But they're, it's just so overwhelming because it's like a totally different level of grooming. It's serious. And really, it's competitive. So that book basically happened after my first competing experience. And the things that I went through, after coming home from a weekend, I slept for a couple of days like a lot of groomers do after they compete, and then got up and went back to work, and all these ideas started flowing. And I kept thinking, this might help somebody else to avoid this catastrophe that I had, or... it's funny to laugh about the things after they're happening, but when they're happening, especially when you've put time into getting your dogs and paying your entry fees and you're there in front of people and you want to do well, it's nice to maybe have a leg up or a little bit of a heads up on what to expect. So that was the precedence behind the book. I wanted to put something out there to let people know this was my experience. I talked to other groomers that had been competing at various levels, top competing stylists all the way down to those that had started out, to find the similarities and the things that they went through, as well as different things that they had happen along the way that might be helpful to other groomers to know ahead of time. That book has everything in it, and I actually just went back and put out a second edition because the schedule and things like that needed to be updated. But everything from what to pack to contracts for lending dogs or borrowing dogs from clients or from breeders are in there, just templates for you to use, everything, different tips and tricks from some of the top competitors, little insightful things that you probably wouldn't think of, lots of full-color photos for reference, and a good dose of humor, too, because at the end, whether you... place or not, you've survived, and it's the humor and the growth that comes along with challenging yourself in those ways that is lasting. So that book's just part of the stepping stone that you need to sometimes, to get started.
Mm-hmm. And what about your table huggers? I don't think everyone knows about those. And we were just
having
a discussion in this last few days about the stains that are occurring on, of course,
right.
the different quick stop stains and things like this. So good segue there. Table huggers. So why don't you tell people what they are?
Yeah, that they're pretty cool. It's a high-quality double-ply vinyl, so it's really good for traction. It's not slippery at all. It's not glaring. It has like a leatherette. All of them have a leatherette finish to them that are in the solid colors, but it's a double-ply vinyl. And it's a slip cover. You can buy them in different sizes depending on the size of your grooming tabletop. And you put them out over your grooming tabletop. And then there's a drawstring, a heavy-duty drawstring, and a lock on the bottom. And you cinch them up around, and they fit under the lip of the table so that you don't see any of the pucker or, everything's tucked up. So it looks like a brand-new top on your table. They can be. I've had a couple groomers that have bought them, took them, and had them embroidered with their kennel logos so that you can take them, you know, often on your table. They're really, really nice for when you're grooming messy dogs, like you get your terriers that get chalk all over, or if you're grooming a dog that's muddy or anything like that, because you can just take them off and wash them, and or they wipe. I mean, they wipe really easy because they're not a deep grain. There's the solid colors that are available. There's animal prints and like a nubuck, which is would probably be for like a show dog type table. But yeah, I mean, I've got one on my table that I've had for over two years now, and it's a saddle finish embossed vinyl that has no holes in it, has no stains on it, and the only thing that's been its weakness is cat claws. There's a couple of tiny little spots that have been caught from the kitties that I've groomed. But the dogs, I groom huge dogs all the way down to little dogs. Nobody's put a ding in that thing yet. And it's a really unique finish that you can put on your table. You can choose whatever color you want. You can take it off, wash it, put it back on. And they're just starting, you know, I've only had them out for a few months, and they're starting to really pick up. I think it's one of the things that if you see it at a trade show, you'll be like, that's really cool. But to explain it, you kind of got to see it. You kind of got to see what it does. Yeah.
Great. Why don't we're getting, again, short on time here. Everything we talked about is now you have the one website, not for the show. We'll get back to that one. But why don't you go ahead and give the new website address for people?
The newest one is www.chris, Sertzel, and that's S as in Sam, ERTZEL.com. And that's kind of like the hub for, you can find the association website on that. You can find all of my products. You can find, everything is on there. Windy Way Cavaliers is on there. So that central hub of a website, you'll be able to access anything that you're looking for from that. That's probably the most important address to have. But I think I have like six websites kind of floating out there. But if you write that one down and you get on there, you'll be able to find whatever you're looking for.
Yeah, that's what I found, too, because I know what it's like to have multiple websites. And I thought, oh, good, there's at least, if I always remember this one, I can go to anything Wendy's doing one way or another. Yeah, that is your central hub now. By the way, I still have a couple callers here. You haven't raised your hand, but there's still time. If you would like to raise your hand and have a question for Wendy, just hit the number one key on your telephone, and that will send me a signal. Tell me a little bit more about this invitational. It sounds like you're doing more this year, so it's not really the first one that you've done. How many have you done before now?
This is the eighth one. This is the eighth show.
It's getting bigger every year.
It does, yeah. It does. Things like that happen. It's, it's grown kind of. We started out in a nice little a park pavilion with a little kitchen in it in the middle of a beautiful park. And I always have it in the fall because fall is my favorite season of the year. And it kind of ushers in autumn and gets us one final bout of relaxing and learning before the holiday season kicks in, which is, as everybody knows, that's our put our heads down and work season. So it started out as a couple of day-long classes, and I think I'm pretty sure we've had a competition every year because everybody likes to be able to get out in a small environment and compete and maybe, you know, get a ribbon and just learn and keep challenging themselves and stuff. So over the years, it's gotten bigger and bigger and bigger. We had one year where we had really low attendance, and I thought, oh, we're not going to do this anymore. And then I thought, what am I thinking? We have to do this. So many people enjoy it. But this year I managed to get a really nice venue, and then because of that, we've got vendors that are willing to work with us, and I'm hoping, and I think it looks like it's going to really take this to the next level for trade shows in our area.
And certainly you've got the opportunity to for the groomers to match the certification efforts that they're doing, all that. I mean, that was really great to get that part.
Yes, yes. So, I was very happy when I got Jeff and Kim to agree to come.
Yeah, it's one of the most challenging things, especially out here. I know for many groomers, we're on the West Coast, and boy, the further east you go, there's just more opportunity. So, but this is great for your people to have a little bit, not have to go quite as far away always,
right,
to do some of the certification requirements.
Yep.
Now, two things, a couple of comments more. We still have a few moments here. I do want to go back and say I appreciate, based on, again, we look at what a groomer's talking about. And on the board of late, we've come into the, it can be a little bit of a testy subject, but you've gone the route of disclosure. As you said, you made sure with your products the disclosure was pretty much 100% disclosure. Is that what you're telling us? Yeah.
Yep,
see, that's
absolutely.
So if people haven't been studying that, we have some great varying points of view. And then how pure is pure? Well, 100% is pretty pure. And so that's great that you were doing that, back. It's been a while since you pursued those therapy lines. So that's great. You also mentioned, and I will get to another question that's popped up here. Another big topic, when you're going to talk to the client, is when they do bring up nutrition. And you mentioned a little bit about nutrition, especially with caring for the canine coat, when we were talking about that. Any resources for groomers that are out there, because they will come to the board too and say, I'm thinking about talking to my clientele about nutrition, but boy, you can get the raw argument started going over here, and you can get this one, you know, it's got to be no grain over here. And what's some of the best ways for people to learn about nutrition, especially if they're going to be talking with their clientele?
Right. Well, self-education, like you said, is that's the most important thing. And when you go and you want to learn about nutrition, a lot of times there's food companies that will host nutrition seminars, and you have to be careful because then you're getting sometimes a biased opinion based on what they're offering and, you know, what they feel from their school of thought or school of teaching, what they feel is important. But just knowing, you know, keeping yourself updated on the regulations that go into or don't go into, for that matter, the nutrition that's available out there, talking with as many different reps as you can and finding the similarities in those things, because they may each say, well, this is best for this thing, but you will find a path of or a pattern between those people of certain things that are important. And the biggest thing is just your own pets. You know, if you're feeding something and you think, well, he's fat, he's always been fat, and he's, you know, or he's robust, or his coat is poor. Nutrition is the starting point of so many health issues, and it just, you know, it trickles down into everything else. If they don't have internal health, they're not going to have any, they're going to have, I guess I should say, lesser health on the outside. So changing diet and keeping up on that will pretty quickly you'll begin to see a change in the overall health of the dog. But I have a few books. One of them is called Four Paws, Five Directions. That's one of, I think, the best books that talks about the dog's internal systems, whether, you know, regardless of what school of thought you are into, if you're into, you know, westernized levels of care or traditional Chinese medicine, things like that. But that's one of the best books that I have ever picked up and read. I'm actually looking because there was another one here. I'm not going to be able to remember where it is.
Okay,
I would say, though, I mean, if you get
some information, and I'll put it on the board if you'd like to.
Okay, yeah, because I want to get the specific title, and
yeah,
I just can't remember what it is.
I've got another caller that's raising their
sure
hand. Let's bring back. All right.
Oh.
Hello, you're live again with us.
Thanks. I just have to you started to touch on my question, and so I was kind of holding and waiting to see if you were going to answer it fully. But the self-education thing, how do you, I mean, I guess it would be a combined question with the aromatherapy and the nutrition and the marketing and everything. I mean, how did you connect all of this stuff? Because if I remember correctly, years back, you know, grooming was you brought your dog in, they got a bath, they got a haircut, and they went out the door. Mm-hmm. And then I logged on to petgroomer.com back in, oh gosh, 2007, I think. And that's when that aromatherapy talk started, you know, mm-hmm. I started to notice it. And now it's everywhere.
Yeah. Well, I think it gains momentum because people see, you know, after trying it and incorporating it and just seeing what happens, you see benefits immediately. The proof is in the pudding with stuff like that.
Did you connect them from, like, human aromatherapy over to canine, you know?
Right.
How did you figure out what the right mixes were? Or where did you go to find that information? Or is it knowledge that you already had? Or
well, I learned about human aromatherapy. I definitely took some classes from some well-known people within the aromatherapy circle, if you will, and spent the money to get, you know, some basic knowledge on how those things help or benefit human beings, what their purpose is, what their properties are, and looked at that and thought, well, you know, my own pets, is this something that I see that, you know, needs some help? Or and tried with them to do the same things I was trying to do for myself. I'll admit to using aromatherapy on family members because you have to, so much of that is hands-on, and because you're using your own senses as part of your learning tools. So, you know, you find your written material. I've wasted some money on books. I've gotten books that I thought, you know, this looks like it's going to be a great book, and it talked in circles, or it just didn't have the information I'm looking for. But they're actually on Amazon.com. I don't know if I can say that or not, but I have a wish list on there of all the books that I have and have read, and those are genuine reviews of those. So the ones that are on there are books that I would recommend to anybody, and it's everything from aromatherapy, flower essence therapy, light therapy, massage, different grooming books.
I can
that are
feel
on
my
there.
Paychecks going out the window already.
And that's just it. I mean, if you have the interest and you're open-minded about it and it's something that seems feasible, you know, if you think about, again, how everything touches everything else, there's any one thing that's, you know, a mantra, if you will, any one thing is only as great as the sum of its parts. So it's everything touches something else. When we come in the grooming salon, we quick a nail or we nick an ear, you know, and it happens. I definitely have done it, and I'm sure it will happen again eventually. But everything that we do can have a positive or a negative outcome. And those things that we can do within the salon to benefit the pets while they're there, only good can come from that. So spending the time and a little bit of money, if you will, but just listening and taking things in and filtering them and seeing what makes sense and what doesn't, and spending a good amount of time, you know, asking questions and learning from mistakes. It's a process of error sometimes, but my own pets, I think, were my building blocks. The dogs that I had, and I had cats for a while too, that they were my greatest learning experience, whether it was behavioral things or physical things that I saw some of them go through. And, you know, I've worked with a few holistic vets, if you will. Some are good, some are bad, or poor, I should say. But finding a good vet to bounce things off of, and just using your noodle sometimes. If you look at something and think, oh, I'm going to try this, this makes sense, that this might work. A lot of times it does, and then you have that aha moment that those are things you go back to, regardless of the situation. There are things that repeat themselves that are beneficial. You know, you think, well, I'm gonna use tea tree oil on this or this because I've always used tea tree oil on this or this, and usually you're okay, but sometimes there's times it doesn't help.
Wendy, I'm going to need to interrupt with you here because I've only got 60 seconds left on
That's my problem all the time.
On. I want to thank our callers that have great questions. Again, your website, it's CHRISSERTZEL. They can find more about or be led from there. Also, why don't you give the website one more time for the show?
Oh, it's www.petstylist, so that's singular, petstylistinvitational.com.
Excellent. That sounds like something, and we'll get some more information up on the board to keep us more
going on
with that. And I want to thank you and keep up the great work. I know you're part of our blog system or whatever. We're going to keep hearing from you. So keep it up. Keep the passion going. You're helping a lot of people in our industry.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for your work, Stephen. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Thank you.